Hello, my name is Leah Feinberg. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Megillat Esther, Perek Dalet. Our last chapter ended in a state of confusion and chaos. In stark contrast to the confusion of the people of Shushan, today's chapter opens with a statement of absolute clarity. As opposed to the bewilderment of the general population, Mordechai yada et kol asher na'asa. Mordechai alone knew all that had happened. In keeping with one of the principles of Chazal with regard to the wording of Tanakh, Rashi explains that the word kol, everything, is extraneous. The verse could easily have said that Mordechai knew et asher na'asa, that which had happened, and we would be in no doubt of the object of the reference. Therefore, the word kol adds that Mordechai knew something beyond the obvious. He knew not only that the decree had been issued in the court of this world, but it had been prophetically revealed to him that the decree was confirmed in the heavenly court as well, and the Jewish people were about to be punished for having bowed to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar as described in Sefer Daniel, as well as for having enjoyed the feast of Ahasuerus. With this in mind, Mordechai tore his clothing and donned sackcloth and ashes and walked through the city crying a great and bitter cry, Tse'aka Gedola Umara. He came as far as the king's gate, but no further, for it would not be appropriate to enter the king's gate dressed in sackcloth. And throughout the kingdom, in every province where the king's decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews. Fasting and crying and grief, sackcloth and ashes were lain upon by multitudes. Again, these verses are read to the tune of lamentations, highlighting the sense of foreboding and despair felt by the Jews as they realized they faced another calamity, comparable in scope to the destruction of the Holy Temple. Even though we learned yesterday that the nation to be destroyed was not revealed to the masses, it stands to reason that the Jews, no strangers to anti-Semitism even in that relatively early era of Jewish history, sensed that the decree was directed at them. Alternatively, some commentators explain that the news of Mordechai's behavior traveled quickly throughout the Jewish communities and served as a signal that disaster loomed and fasting and intense prayer were called for by the entire nation. The maids and servants of Esther came to tell her of Mordechai's behavior, and Esther was greatly distressed. She sent clothing to dress Mordechai so that he would remove his sackcloth, but he refused to accept them. In verse 5, Esther called to Hatach from among the servants that the king had assigned to her and commanded him to speak to Mordechai to find out, Maze, ve'al maze, what is this and why? The 19th century commentator Malbim explains that Esther's intention in sending a change of clothing to Mordechai was to enable him to enter the palace and tell her what was prompting such behavior. She understood that his refusal was his way of saying that the situation was so dire that he daren't pause in his supplications even for a moment. She therefore sought a messenger she knew she could trust, and sent him to find out what was wrong and what reason lay behind the situation. He draws an analogy to a doctor who researches not only the illness of the patient, but the cause of the illness so as to treat it properly. Esther is in essence asking what has brought this about so that we may know what needs to be done to remedy the situation. As to the messenger, Hatach, once again, we note the identification of even the quote-unquote minor characters in our story. The sages of the Talmud identify Hatach with Daniel, which would explain why Esther chose specifically him to be the messenger to carry confidential messages between herself and Mordechai. The two sages, Rav and Shmuel, agree upon this identification, but disagree as to why Daniel is now called Hatach. According to one, the name derives from the root chatach, to cut, because Daniel was cut down from his earlier position of greatness and as an advisor to the Babylonian king Belshazzar and demoted to serve the queen. Alternatively, He was called Hatach because affairs of the kingdom were decided, nechtechu, according to his word. In any event, Hatach, alias Daniel, was certainly a trustworthy messenger, and he went out to Mordechai to the street in front of the king's gate. And Mordechai told him all that had happened to him, and about the money that Haman had promised to deposit into the king's treasury for the right to destroy the Jews. And he gave him the text of the decree that had been issued in Shushan to destroy them, to show Esther and speak to her, and to command her that she must go to the king, to plead with him and to entreat him on her people's behalf. And Hatach came and told Esther all that Mordechai had said. And Esther spoke to Hatach and instructed him to tell Mordechai, "All the servants of the king and all the people of his provinces know that any man or woman who approaches the inner court of the king without having been called is unequivocally put to death, unless the king extends to him his golden scepter. And I have not been called before the king these past 30 days." And they told Mordechai what Esther had said. It is interesting to note that here in verse 12, Vayagidu leMordechai et divrei Esther, and they told Mordechai the words of Esther, the name of the messengers is omitted. The Aramaic translation, which is actually much more than translation and interpolates a great deal of Midrash into the text, explains the omission. The Targum reads as follows. When the evil Haman saw that Hatach, whose name is also Daniel, was coming and going before Esther, he was infuriated and killed him. Then two angels, Michael and Gabriel, were sent to relay to Mordechai the words of Esther. This reading solves two problems. One, the conceptual problem of how Daniel, an officer in the Babylonian kingdom whose great love for Yerushalayim was well known, came to be buried in Shushan, where his kever is still to be found today. And the textual problem of the shift to the term Vayagidu, which appears in the plural form, in the middle of a conversation ostensibly being relayed singularly through Hatach. Yet again, it serves to introduce divine intervention into the story. To return to the conversation, when Esther's reluctance was relayed to Mordechai, he responded with great forcefulness in verses 13 and 14. Al tedami benafshech lehimalet bet hamelech mikol hayehudim, ki im hacharesh tacharishi ba'et hazot, revach vehatzala ya'amod layehudim mimakom acher, ve'at ubet avich tovedu, umi yodea im le'et kazot higat lamalchut. Do not imagine that you, among all Jews, will be spared because you are in the king's house. Moreover, if you remain silent at this time, salvation will arrive for the Jews from another quarter, and you and your father's house will be completely destroyed. And who knows whether it's not for just such a time that you achieve the position of royalty? We are left wondering at Mordechai's words. Why would he accuse Esther of self-interest? Had he not raised her himself to be concerned for the Jewish people? And has not all the evidence pointed to her having internalized and faithfully practiced all of his teachings until now? And why, in fact, was Esther reluctant to act to save the Jews? It seems out of step with everything we have learned about her until now. The commentaries explain that this conversation reflects a deep-seated difference between the fundamental approaches of Mordechai and Esther to the challenge they faced. Mordechai was advocating storming the heavens for a miracle, while Esther was arguing that, after all, the decree would not go into effect for another 11 months. Given that she hadn't been called to the king for the past 30 days, it is most likely that he would soon call for her, and she would then take the opportunity to approach the subject diplomatically and over time persuade the king to see things her way, which sounds like a very thoughtful and logical plan. Nevertheless, Mordechai argues back that all the signs are pointing to the need for supernatural intervention. The fact that she has been chosen, against all odds, to become the queen of the Persian Empire just a short time before this decree is issued stands out as an inexplicable turn of events and therefore must be the result of divine intervention. Moreover, it affords her the opportunity to rectify the wrongdoing of her forefather, Shaul, who allowed the king of Amalek to live long enough to conceive progeny, which culminated in the rise of Haman. If she forfeits this opportunity, certainly the Jewish nation would survive. But her refusal to be the means of salvation would be the final nail in the coffin of Shaul's extended family. Apparently, this argument convinced Esther, for in her next words, in verse 16, she orders Mordechai to gather all the Jews of Shushan and order them to fast for 3 days, and she and her maidservants would likewise fast. After that, she would go to the king, contrary to the law. And in her words, if I perish, so be it. And Mordechai did as Esther commanded him, a significant reversal of the status quo. The words chosen by Esther, Lech knos et kol ha-Yehudim, go assemble all the Jews, are somewhat unusual. Maharal notes the association with the term Beit Knesset, a house of assembly for the purpose of prayer. He explains that when Jews come together for the purpose of prayer, wherever they may be, they experience a microcosm of redemption. This coming together for the common purpose of serving God is the antidote to the accusation leveled against the Jews by Haman. Yeshno am echad mifuzar u'miforad bein ha'amim. They are a nation that is fractured and divided, just as we saw and continue to see during the COVID crisis. Jews of all stripes, regardless of individual customs, come together to pray in local minyanim, prayer quorums, and this constitutes one of the few bright spots in a dark era. So too, the gathering of the Jews of Shushan was a glimmer of light that heralded their salvation. May we merit to see a similar salvation speedily in our days. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.